Studying the book of Jonah in our morning worship, we come this morning to the third chapter. Jonah is now out of the fish, and he goes to Nineveh and preaches for one day, and the entire city of Nineveh is converted to God. And the third chapter of the book of Jonah tells us that great story.
Jonah chapter 3, right from the beginning. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he cried, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Then tidings reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he made proclamation and published through Nineveh, By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them cry mightily to God. Yea, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows, God may yet repent and turn from his fierce anger, so that we perish not. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God repented of the evil which he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. Amen.
And Jonah cried, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. The repentance of the city of Nineveh at the preaching of Jonah is one of the most sensational events in all human history. In fact, there is nothing in all history like the repentance of the city of Nineveh. There was nothing like it before it happened, and there has not been anything like it since it happened. The repentance of Nineveh is absolutely unique in the history of man. And it's unique for several reasons. In the first place, one should think of the sheer size of the awakening. Imagine the whole city of Glasgow turning to Christ in one day. Over 1 million people were converted to God in one day. Now, that's very unusual. When we think of men and women turning to God, when we think of people coming to Christ, one thinks of smallish numbers. At the most, you get a trickle and not much more. If we think back over the past 70 years, there have been trickles of people coming to God. 6 years ago, I visited Los Angeles and stayed with, well, they called themselves the Jesus Freaks, but they were all the hippies who had found Christ on the streets of America. And it's reckoned that in 1 week, some 20,000 young people turned to Christ on the west coast of America. The hippies, the down and outs, turning from their junk and their sin to Christ. But that's a trickle. If you go back 30 years to the island of Lewis and the Lewis Revival and the preaching of Duncan Campbell in the little village of Barvas on the western side of Lewis, you had a whole community there trembling under the word of Jesus Christ. But it was only a trickle. If you go back over 30 years to what used to be the Belgian Congo, you had the Congo Revival, and whole villages and sometimes whole areas of the Belgian Congo trembled in fear before the preaching of God's word. But it was only a trickle. If you go back 100 years to 1859 and that great spiritual event known as the 1859 Revival, you had entire communities in Scotland moved by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But although many came, it was only a trickle. But in Nineveh, Jonah preached one sermon. It had only one theme, and his ministry lasted 1 day. And the entire city of Nineveh was converted to the true and the living God. For sheer size of numbers, the repentance of Nineveh is unique. But it's unique for another reason. It's unique because we see in Jonah's preaching a marriage that you don't often find. It's the marriage of faithfulness with success. The New Testament says that God requires of his stewards that they be found faithful. God does not expect us to be popular. He does not expect us to be successful. He does not expect us to be well thought of. All that God expects of us is that we stick to our guns and be faithful to our ministry. And it's not very often that you get a faithful man who is also a successful man. Usually, you get one or the other. I could keep you here for hours telling you of ministers in Scotland today who are faithful men, and they labor in God's word, and they struggle for years, and they refuse to compromise, and they refuse to come down. They are faithful to God. And yet I could tell you of these men who have had lean years of ministry, years of bitter resistance to the message of Jesus Christ, and yet they are faithful men, but there is no success. And sometimes you get men who are successful, but they are successful at the expense of faithfulness. I'm thinking of ministers who are immensely popular. I'm thinking of ministers who are everybody's buddy. I think of ministers whose sole concern is to have, quote, a good going church, end quote. Church where it's all happening. A church that's a steer of activity and activism. A church that's so busy that there's no room for Jesus Christ. One man said, "My church is so busy that if God removed the Holy Spirit from us, some people wouldn't notice for 50 years. There are men who are so successful like this at the expense of faithfulness, but it was the glory of the ministry of Jonah in Nineveh that he was true to God and he was successful. I'm thinking of some of the great preachers in history who have preached for years and have seen nothing for their labors. I'm thinking of Noah. Do you know how long Noah preached? Noah preached for 120 years. And he didn't win a single soul. Apart from his family, they all thought he was a mad old fool building a ship in the middle of a desert when the sun was burning a hole in the ground. The man's mad. A 120 years. No one listened. I think of Jeremiah, that shy boy from the country, a timid, frightened lad, son of the manse, a cultured, educated boy, and God said, "Go to the city and let them have it." Jeremiah said, "Not me, sir. I'm afraid you got the wrong man. I can't preach." But he went, and he preached for 60 years. He accomplished absolutely nothing. The only person who was true to him was his scribe, Barak, the man who wrote down the words of his book. You can be faithful to God, true to God, and not accomplish much, but it is the glory of Jonah's ministry that he was true to the message and refused to compromise. One message for one day, and he stuck to his guns. 40 days, and you're finished. 40 days to change your mind. The good times have gone. Men and women of Nineveh, the Lord God of heaven and earth is against you. Change your evil ways. 40 days' time, Nineveh will be overthrown. And it worked. The repentance of Nineveh is unique, first of all, for the sheer size of the awakening. Secondly, it is unique because we find in it that rare marriage of faithfulness and success. But the repentance of Nineveh is also unique for another reason. I wonder if you noticed that there is no suggestion in Jonah's sermon of the mercy of God or the love of God. The only sign there is in Jonah's sermon that God is a God of love is the fact that he's prepared to give them 40 days in which to change their mind. That's the only sign that God loves Nineveh. The very core of his message, the spine of his message, was the fear of God. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I wonder if I could ask you a question. How many sermons have you heard preached in your lifetime on the fear of God? How many sermons have you heard preached in your lifetime on a message of judgment? If men do not change their hearts, change their ways, God will judge them. How often have you heard that preached in your lifetime? And I'll ask you one more question. Do you not think it is high time the Christian church put the fear of God and the judgments of God back into its message? People will tell you nowadays that folk won't come to church and listen to a message of fear and of judgment. Who said so? Has it been tried? It hasn't been tried for years. Mind you, everything else has been tried. God in social involvement, finding Jesus in caring for your neighbor, turning churches into social clubs, and pretty poor social clubs at that. Everything else has been tried, except the fear of God and the judgments of God. Let me say two things about the fear of God. The first is this. The element of fear in the Christian message is one of the most powerful motives in getting men to come to Christ. I wonder if you're familiar with these words. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. And this wonderful verse, these are all from the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The psychologists tell you that it's not healthy to teach children to fear. Well, what do you do when your child puts his fingers into an electric radiator? Do you allow him to experiment? You tell him to stop it, because he ought to fear fire. And it is the testimony of the Bible that sound godly fear, I'm not speaking about the sort of fear that paralyzes you and inhibits you and makes you into a frightened animal. That's not Christian. I'm speaking of godly fear. And it is the testimony of the Bible that sound godly fear is one of the most salutary and health-giving things in the world. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The second thing is this, the fear of God. If you go to some of these old churches, you may still see an hourglass at the side of the pulpit. Well, it was there for two reasons. It was there to keep the sermon short, although some of the men just turned them over when the sand had run out and started all over again. The sand ran for an hour, and the sermon lasted for an hour. But the hourglass was there for another reason. It was there to teach men that life was ebbing away. And as the sand trickled, life passed. And the hourglass was there to bring men to repentance and to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do you know your Shorter Catechism? Question 87. What is repentance unto life? Notice the question. Not all repentance is repentance unto life. There are many people in prison today who are sorry. They're not all Christians. They're sorry they've been caught. That's not quite the same thing. What is repentance unto life? Repentance unto life is a saving grace by which a sinner, out of a true sense of sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, does with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it to God with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. What is repentance unto life? Repentance unto life is a saving grace. And the sand was allowed to trickle to remind men that life doesn't last forever and that the time had come to seek God. The people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. Are you saying that this is not Christian? Are you saying that this is not part of the New Testament message? Listen to the words of Jesus. Will you accept his words? There had been a tragedy in the community. A group of men had been walking along a street in Jerusalem. and a tower had fallen down on top of them and killed them all. And everyone was speaking about this tragedy. And Jesus said to them, "Do you think that these men who were killed were the worst men in Jerusalem? But I say unto you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Fear him who is able to destroy body and soul in hell. Fear him." You see, it was gentle Jesus, meek and mild, who taught us to fear God. And what I invite you to do in closing, if you have not already done so, is to introduce this new element into your religion: healthy, godly fear. And by that I mean a godly fear that leads to repentance. And what's repentance? Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of heart, that leads to a change of life. That's what happened to Nineveh. A city the size of Glasgow, over 1 million people. One sermon in one day. And that's what happened. Let it happen to us, shall we? Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he cried, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. Jesus said, "The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment upon this generation, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah." And Jesus said, "A greater than Jonah is here." Amen. May God bless the preaching of his word. To his name be the honor and the praise. The hymn is number 398. "The Lord is rich and merciful. The Lord is very kind."